Hello, I'm Elizabeth Day, host of Shaping the Future by Regent Street, a new culture podcast investigating the forces shaping destinations today. I deep dive into topics such as art and design, architecture, wellness, sustainability, and much, much more. If you like this podcast, why not head over and give us a listen? We're available on all major podcast listening platforms.
Tell us what happened.
No comment.
Three unique crime stories.
You'd want to take the life of a young girl like that.
Two sides of the interrogation table.
It should be him sitting here instead of me.
One truth to uncover.
I know how you'll twist it.
Featuring guest stars David Tennant.
I cannot just sit here saying nothing.
Hayley Atwell.
You don't have proof. You don't have the first idea.
Carry on like this and you're gonna have blood on your hands.
Criminal. Now streaming on Netflix.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can, with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Billy Grant, the Grandmaster.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon on YouTube. Go check it out. I'm going to have a new episode soon. I swear. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful host of the Rose Pricks Batch of Rose podcast. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Howdy doody.
What's going on, baby?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening in like 2 or 3 days. We're going to Charlotte, North Carolina on September 26th for a big old show. It's going to be amazing. It's part of the Queen City Comedy Experience. It's a whole festival with lots of very famous, funny people like Doug Benson and people like that. And Dave Attell, who's one of my comedy heroes, and Jeffrey Ross. Like, it's a whole comedy thing. And we have a huge theater as part of this show, which is kind of amazing to even think about this. But it's a giant theater, and they just released a bunch more tickets. So if you have been on the fence, get off that fence, y'all, and come buy a ticket and come see us at this show. It's going to be Thursday night at the McLaughlin Theater, McLaughlin, something like that. And the tickets are at watchercrappens.com. And then the very next night, we're going to Nashville, Tennessee, going back to City Winery, where we had just a fabulous time back in December, where I got to celebrate my 40th birthday with everyone there. So let's do it again. Not my birthday, but Nashville. So Charlotte, we're going to be talking Real Housewives of Orange County, which will include the fallout of Kelly Dodd viciously attacking Shannon Bedore with a soft mallet on her head. And then on Thursday, I mean Friday, in Nashville, we're going to be talking Real Housewives of Dallas, where Cameron is going to throw a napkin at Brandy's face and say, "You're trash." So it's going to be so fun to do both those recaps in front of a live audience. We want you to be part of it. WatchCrappens.com for those. And then real quickly, Atlanta, Carrboro, Richmond, Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Denver, Seattle, our Golden Crappy Awards in Los Angeles, Detroit, Columbus, Houston, all of those cities we are going to. So go to watchacrappins.com to buy tickets to come see us live.
Do it! Okay, so today is Married to Medicine.
Whoop whoop.
Buddy.
Yeah, so this week's episode picks up with the cliffhanger of last week, which is Quad and Simone gathering at a restaurant to get their relationship back on track, and then immediately it goes awry because the very first thing Quad does is bring up her feelings about the crab boil from last season, where Simone basically was like, you haven't been hanging around, you've been hanging out with new people, sister circle, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so we get in, we're in the middle of this fight, and Simone has just gotten up to leave and storm out, and she's like, we have already talked about this, Quad. And Quad's like, well, how do you think I felt with your feet up on the table with those $100 bills in your shoes? How real are we going to keep it?
Yes, talking about how real you're going to keep it with $100 bills in your shoes. That was a year ago, Quad. I've seen you a million times since then, Quad.
Would you have a seat? Would you have a seat, please?
And so Simone storms out. She's like, I do not have time. I didn't have time last year, and I do not have time this year. And she storms out, and then Quad starts opening her straw all angrily and sideways. Yeah. And then she decides, fuck this straw, and she throws it down, which is, I have to say, it's a little anticlimactic, because I've been wondering what this straw drama is.
Yeah, you know, well, months. I mean, there was a lot of stuff with that straw, because she throws it down, so we thought, like, for all this time, since we first analyzed the trailer, we thought that straw is obviously going to wind up in a drink, right? And then for her to throw it down, it's like, wow, a twist we did not see coming.
Yeah, Turtle just got a straw in its nose for nothing. Like, you didn't even enjoy your Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's because that straw is still going to get thrown out. Still going to get thrown out. It's
yeah.
It's
not like there's a separate ocean that unused straws go into.
Yeah, Quad decides to go and chase down Simone. She's like, oh, now your ass is running because you have nothing to say about your behavior. And then
I was just going to say, you hear the car like, because Simone's like revving her engine to leave. And she's like, there's some waiter just looking at Quad. And she's like, well, I don't have to listen to that lying ass. She's going, then fine, chicken, go. The waiter's like, I literally do not care. Save a turtle. How about that?
I know. And then she's like, oh, you know what? I actually wrote down a note. Quad puts a straw in her water and drinks. So the straw did get used. It got used.
Good. So we do have an ending to that. Thank God.
And she's just muttering at her table alone. Like, just muttering like a crazy person.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's going off about how unbelievable it was that she could do this to me. And then she tells us, instead of just owning her shit, she would rather loud talk me and act as if it's old news. Well, it may be old, but I have feelings.
I have feelings. What has transpired is that I have feelings.
And Simone is in the car, and she's talking to herself, too. She's talking to a little GoPro cam in her car, and she's like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wish I had known she wanted to talk shit that happened 1 year ago or 2 years ago, because I would have told her to kiss my ass.
Yeah. So Simone gets home. She's like, Cecil! And he's like down in his sad man cave making himself some sort of, did he say it was a martini? Because it looked green, if I remember correctly.
I was thinking it was like a margarita type deal, but I don't know. What do I know?
I don't know. Who knows what goes on down there? It was definitely in like a weird glass. So Cecil is like ready to enjoy a nice night, like at home, alone, no kids, quiet, relaxation. And it's like, Cecil! Cecil! He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. So she's like, you will not believe this, Cecil. She wanted to talk about last year. And he's like, last year? She goes, at the crab bowl. Yeah, that's how someone pronounces crab boil. She says, the crab bowl. So last year at the crab bowl. She's like, I gave her my authentic feelings and I fixed this with her at the crab bowl, Cecil, at the crab bowl.
But why is it okay for Simone to be able to speak her authentic feelings at the crab bowl, but Quad can't speak her authentic feelings at the restaurant? You know, like, I mean, I know it's old, but at the same time, like, I also feel like basically it's, from what it sounds like, Quad is a slow processor, right? So when Simone is a fast processor, and so when she hears something, she reacts, she gets it out, but then she's like done. But Quad, it like sits, and it, you know, it takes time for her to, you know, and she's like, you know what, I realize I never liked the way she spoke to me at that thing, and I feel like I really need to address it because it's been actually like in me for all this time. But of course, Quad did not actually, they're both right and they're both wrong, right? Because Quad should have addressed this earlier, but she didn't, and so she's trying to address it now, and she should be allowed to, but she also did it in a piss-poor way. She did not do it with a, I know that that this is, you know, 2 years old, but guess what? It actually still bothered me. She was like, well, we have to talk about the grandma,
After sauntering in an hour late, not saying sorry.
Thank you.
You know, Quad is a total jackass. No, Quad is being a total jackass here. She's just trying to have drama to have drama, I think.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you who's having a great time. Oh, wait, no, you were about to say an and. I was about to switch away. You give an and.
To Trixie Monocle? Trixie Monocle's having a very good time. She really is. She's like,
if you don't know about me, I'm about to show ya, about to show ya. Yeah.
Yeah, that was some classic Trixie. A little sassy. Like, if you don't know about me, I'm about to show ya, about to show ya. Oh, I'm a great singer who had a bad, who didn't respect me, so I did my solo thing, and now I'm over here, about to show ya, about to show ya. Lock that one in, Paul. I thought that was really good. I really like the feeling of that one. I think that's going to get us back on the charts, Paul.
Yeah, and it's this real sassy song for Heavenly sitting in her giant closet surrounded by her shelves of purses. It's like, okay, Heavenly.
Yeah.
Not posed at all, Heavenly. So she's FaceTiming Contessa in the closet.
Yeah.
And and Contessa's talking about Nashville, and Heavenly's like, well, you know, Daddy, I have a history in Nashville, Daddy. I met Daddy in Nashville at medical college. Ah, praise the Lord.
Daddy. Yeah, she said praise the Lord a lot in this episode. Just for everything. She's like, oh, look, I found the stapler. Praise the Lord. So
yeah.
Then we see Quad at home, and she's just trying to figure out her cabinets. Like, the doors won't close. She's like,
you don't know what I've been through, cabinet door.
I know, she was doing that thing where you stick the pan in the drawer, but then the hand of the pan, or the arm handle. Of the pan, what do you call it? The handle is, like, sticking out, and she just keeps shutting it. Like, you have to move the pan. Okay, Quad, we've all been... Quad is just so relatable.
I have told that pan so many times. I am not here to move your handle into the cabinet. That is for you to do. I am here to cook fresh green beans.
I cannot handle that pan's handle. So then the song comes back in again, and she's like,
if you don't know me, I'm about to show you. You solo heifer.
Yeah.
You solo heifer.
I was like, what? What? She's saying, I couldn't tell if she's saying, yo soy la jefa, like, meaning, I think that she was saying, I am the chief, or I'm the boss, because jefe is boss in Spanish, because, guys, I'm bilingual, okay?
Yeah, bilingual.
So I don't know what she was saying, but I wrote it down five different ways, and then I obsessed for the rest of the episode. Is she saying, like, I'm a low heifer, or is she saying, I'm the boss in Spanish? I don't know. You decide.
She probably said something entirely different, like, I love forever. Or something like that.
Probably.
You're like, is she calling herself a heifer? I'm like, no, I think she's admitting her love to the world. I don't know.
Yeah. Or I thought she was saying, you're a low heifer, or something like that. But then as I kept hearing it, I thought, oh, she's saying, I'm the boss in Spanish. It's like, you know Maybe. What? I don't even know. But thank you for reminding me that I haven't continued my Duolingo classes. Thank you.
We'll have to get to the bottom of it. And so, Trixie Monocle, if you're out there, could you please clarify what the lyrics were to this royalty-free song that was used on Marriage
Trixie,
Medicine?
Give us a call, babe.
Thanks. So, so we see Jackie and Curtis playing basketball because they're so happy now. And then we go over to Mariah's house. And all, like, the footage, it's like, for some reason, it's like spring everywhere in Atlanta, but whenever we get to Mariah's house, it's always fall. Have you ever noticed that it's just always fall at Mariah's house? No matter what, like, do they just shoot all her scenes in October and then, like, wait 6 months to pick up filming for the rest of the season? I don't get it.
Yeah, Mariah's energy is just always slowly killing trees.
Yeah. It's like all the trees are always red and orange. Everything is red and orange in there.
It's
just forever autumn.
She's like the lady from entertaining, but just not like that. She's the lady from Frozen, but not entertaining enough to like make it total winter. It's just always fall, you know.
Her big song is "Let It, Let It."
She's half-assing her song in "Not Frozen."
I'm not gonna let it go
yet.
I think her song would be "I'm not gonna let it go." Gosh, I have to let it go. Let it go. Not gonna let it go.
I'll let you want it. I'll let you want it. So,
let Aiden, you acknowledge it.
I feel completely. I'll give you a chance to apologize. And while we're at it, to my mama who's still hurt.
You said rumors. You said rumors.
About me doing crack cocaine, which I don't want to talk about anymore. Aiden, I feel completely betrayed in this scene because Aiden shows up and he's not wearing scrubs. Whoa. How am I supposed to know that you're a husband who's a doctor?
Unless you're wearing scrubs.
I'm pretty sure. I didn't recognize him at first. I was like, who is this rando in here trying to hit on Mariah? And I was like, I don't know. I recognize those plugs. God, I need the jacket.
It's strange. It's weird. It's weird seeing him not in scrubs. I know what you're saying. It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Yeah, he's always in scrubs. Yeah. So, or actually, he's not. Sometimes he's just in his doctor's jacket. Like, he'll run to the closet and put on his jacket.
Sometimes, if it's like a formal event, he puts on like baggy white pants and like a white blazer, you know? And maybe some like weird blue patterned shirt.
But when he's doing the around the home scenes, he's always in a white jacket. He's like, don't forget, I'm a doctor. And he also wears his stethoscope. That's another thing he does. Yeah. He's always wearing his stethoscope at home. Like, honey, I just asked you to grill some burgers.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I feel like also when he's wearing his formal wear or like his going out clothing, I feel like it's all probably repurposed scrubs that have been sewn together into something else from like a Project Runway challenge. You know, like there's always scrubs around.
Yeah. Well, dad, you know, he's no daddy in that regard.
Oh, yeah. Daddy will just wear the scrubs to a fancy restaurant.
Yes. So he'd like wear the scrubs to a nudist colony, like where you don't even have to wear anything. He'd be like, but they're how I feel comfortable. So Aiden is like, yeah, you're my wife, but you're still TLC. Fine. Yeah.
No scrubs.
No scrubs. I was like, I was trying to think of the show about extremely obese people that this could be based on, that joke. I was like,
my 600-pound pile of scrubs. Life.
My 600-pound scrub life. So Aiden, yeah, he's hitting on her, and she's telling him she's going to go catch up with Toya and stuff. And he's like, you might have to cancel, baby, because you're so hot. Shut up, okay, Aiden. Go put on your stethoscope. Back into your scrubs. Yeah.
Get back into your uniform. This non-scrub Aiden is not right.
Yeah, stop trying to play me.
So Toya's coming over. Mariah is like roasting peppers because Toya's coming over. And Lake, her sister Lake is too. Which is impressive considering that the big fight season one, the iconic fight, I think involved Toya and... Wasn't Lake in that fight? Oh, no, that was Lucy.
The mom was. Yeah, Mama Lucy was. Sorry. She was the one standing in back, hitting Toya in the head with her purse.
Also, spoiler alert, I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know if you noticed it, but in the previews for next week, it looks like Carrie's back in the mix.
Oh, is she? That? I did not notice. She was in the previews. Duncan. We've summoned her back. We've summoned her back to the show.
Yeah. I have struggled for 20 years trying to get back onto the show for the past 4 years. And now I've finally done it.
This is not how we behave. This is not how we behave.
Oh, bring her back, please.
So Toya comes over wearing these green pants, and Mariah's like, oh, look at you in your green pants. You're like the junior varsity version of me. Girl, stop.
I'm like, please neither of you brag about this outfit, because I didn't like it on either of you. It was like a Dear John hat gone wrong.
The second time it's been worn, and the second time it's failed miserably.
Yeah. So they go down to a gazebo, which I didn't even know was on the property, but they're in the gazebo. Very Lisa Vanderpump. Very Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah. And they start talking about that tea party church thing from last week. And Toya's like, girl, it was an opportunity for people to skirt around the issues that were already out there. I don't even get it.
Yeah. And Mariah's like, well, I'm just upset because I felt like Jackie didn't speak about what she did to me. made everyone else speak about what they all said. And basically, Mariah is still mad that she feels like Jackie has not owned up to her mistake. Even though Jackie did nothing, Jackie just asked a question about whether Quad should have said that, Jackie asked if Quad should have brought up Mariah's alleged drug use. But now Mariah is mad at Jackie for that.
Yes, which is hilarious because Mariah's mad that Jackie was messing while Mariah just invited her sister Lake on camera to talk about how Quad fucked her husband.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. So Mariah's like, yeah, I just want her to own it because friends, you know, she's way too old to be spreading vicious, slanderous lies. Yeah. So she's like, she tells the girl, she's like, Jackie is the rumor meal. She is. She goes, I wanted to eat that bitch alive like a piece of sashimi. And Tori's like, I don't know what's going on with Mariah, but I don't know if she's starving, but she keeps referring to people as food.
Also, sashimi's not alive.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to eat that bitch alive like sashimi.
Yeah, I'm going to eat her uncooked. It's like,
That's better. That's better, yeah. But is Mariah hungry? Is Mariah hungry? Which I like, because then we saw a flashback of last season when, what was it? Mariah had like an insult where she like did a full-on meal prep. She's like, you know what I'm going to do to you? I am going to dice you up and then saute you and then add some salt and pepper, saute you some more, add some stock, reduce it, bring it to a simmer, add some check for seasoning, add the chicken, cook it till it's done, add some herbs at the end, plate it. That's what I'm doing to you.
I'm going to pico de gallo her ass.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing that's ever been said. I'm going to pico de gallo her ass. Yes.
Pico de gallo, sashimi. I mean, it is starting to turn into a lovely meal.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed, but I do.
Joker is the film that everyone is talking about. Critics are calling it the film of the year, an instant classic, a masterpiece, 5 stars.
People are starting to notice.
Gloriously daring, thunderously powerful, Joaquin Phoenix is astonishing.
The clown. When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Joker, in cinemas October 4. Book tickets now.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.
So Toria's like, well, you know, we're all in a place where maybe we don't like what people are doing, but, and Mariah's like, that is not the point. I will eat her with wasabi and soy sauce. That is the point. And she's like, no, what I'm saying is I didn't address Contessa because then it would be me and her on 20. But, you know, like, I'd at least like to be talking. And Mariah's like, okay, well, then we can agree that the first step is acknowledgement. I was like, come on, Mariah. You are barking up the dumbest tree ever. You're not gonna villainize Dr. Jackie. Not gonna happen. You're not gonna make her the most hated person on the show. Sorry.
It's not gonna work. And just because someone taught you the word acknowledgement and you are now repeating it every episode does not mean that you're any more right in this situation or that you will win.
She's like, you better roll that acknowledgement up in a tortilla and serve it with a nice side of guacamole. That's what I'm saying.
So now we go over to Jackie and Simone having smoothies on a little picnic table. They have, like, there's some picnic table somewhere in Atlanta that they always go to, and they're there.
I think it's in front of Jackie's office.
I think it might be. It's like their table.
Yeah, because it's like a park table in front of a strip mall. So I think it's their office.
So Jackie and Simone are having healthy smoothies, and Jackie has brought flowers for Simone. She's like, I brought flowers because I thought flowers are important, and I want you to have something because you're important. And Simone's just sort of like, what happened?
Yeah. She goes, well, I feel like I'm in the middle of very important people. probably like this flower feels. It's like, you're really stretching this. Okay, Jackie? She's like, I mean, particularly you and Heavenly. And so she's, Simone's just looking at her and nodding, like, how far are you going to take this, Jackie? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've made up my mind that one, I will not allow Heavenly to seed herself in a jar with a potato that has water in it, because the potato should learn to sprout so the kids can understand potatoes. Otherwise, they'll flout rose potatoes, and nobody wants that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it?
Simone's like, does the potato clean up after itself? Because then, yes, I do understand. Then I would like that. I would like that potato.
So she's like, that's why I haven't called you, Jackie. I am not putting you in the middle, and I am not in a situation that I need someone to force me to have a relationship with someone that doesn't have respect for my husband.
Oh, my God. And once again, in case anyone has not been watching this season, this whole feud is because Cecil quoted Mariah, something silly that Mariah said last season, and Heavenly thought it was a pointed attack at herself. So she responded by saying that Cecil should get a job because it was commonly acknowledged on the reunion that Cecil didn't have a job. And then Simone thought that was a pointed breakage of girl code because Simone had told Heavenly that she wants Cecil to get a job. It is so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because they showed the tweet.
They're
that,
so mild.
She replied
both
with, they're both so, they're both, you're right, they're totally mild.
Like Pico de Gallo.
So they're both really mild, and her tweet just says, I feel like he just needs to get a job and stay out of women's mess, dot, dot, dot. Well, that's not saying Simone told me that he has to get a job.
No.
Everyone knows he was unemployed. It was part of the, it was on national television.
Yes, and so for Simone to get mad at Heavenly clearly shows that Simone was feeling a certain sort of way in terms of, like, her anxiety about the situation, and she just probably just projected it all onto Heavenly at that moment. But it was so ridiculous, and the fact that we have to watch these grown women, these grown professional women, have a full-on fight that needs to be mediated with flowers and smoothies is, like, ridiculous, but also
hilarious. Because Heavenly needs to pressure wash her house. I mean, this shit is too much. So Jackie's like, well, everybody has an opinion of what happened and what took place and how they feel without hearing the other people, which is why I've written my feelings down on a card that I'd like to hold up. I was like, okay, wrap it up. So she's like, I miss my friends. And Simone just keeps blinking at her. And she's like, but people have done things that have hurt my feelings, Jackie.
Yeah, at which point Simone's like, okay, the minute you buddy up with Mariah, then I'll buddy up with Heavenly. So they're like, okay. So Jackie's like, fine, we'll do a double date.
Yeah. We'll get a foursome to kindle and buddy up. Kindle and buddy up. That's a phrase we're going to go with. So next we go over to Heavenly, going over to Contessa's house. And Heavenly's like, hello, kids. How y'all doing? How you doing, kids? And she's like, oh, they're just practicing their chess match. And Heavenly's like, well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's like everything gets a praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know I was a chess champion in high school, don't you? And she's like, oh, Jesus. Heavenly is like, whenever Heavenly talks about her past, she's like the best at everything. And then they cut to Heavenly telling us, I was vice president of student government. I was the president of underclassmen council. I was the president of student council my freshman year in college. The Lord actually praised me at my graduation. So... there's that.
I was the president of Latin Club and Pig Latin Club, also known as Eek Latin Club, eh? And I was also in the Math Olympiad, and I was on volleyball and football and ice hockey and field hockey, and I was the captain of all those teams. Hey, Daddy.
And I graduated with honors. I got a fucking scholarship. And I've she said, like, she's a fucking full scholarship.
Yes.
And I'm a world-renowned dentist. So there.
Yeah.
I went to a special college, the best college in America, called Javier Brinston Brown. It's a great school. Admission of one.
So Contessa says, well, the good thing about a high school resume is that you can say whatever you want and you don't have to show receipts. It's like, oh, you're going to get it for that one. I can't wait for this reunion. So they start talking about their day, and Heavenly's like,
well, I set 6 implants. Till about 12, because I work half a day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, is this a chair? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daddy.
So Heavenly's, so Contessa's like, well, I had this whole conversation with Scott, and like, it's just stressful because, you know, like, because I'm off going to school in Nashville. Oh, by the way, we have a Nashville show. And she's talking about that and, you know, the pressure that's putting on the marriage. And Heavenly's like, well, Daddy, these kids aren't supposed to be with him. They're supposed to be with you. You're the natural nurturer. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yeah, she's like, well, when did I lose the ability to have a say in my own family? And Heavenly goes, because you stepped out of the situation. You're supposed to be here with the kids. You're a nurturer. Men don't get it. So why do you leave your damn kids with your damn husband?
Yeah, she's, a woman's place is where? And with her children, you sign up to be a wife and you watch over those chess games, Daddy. I was like,
oh God, Heavenly. There goes Heavenly again, just trying to pretend feminism never happened.
Yeah, the progressive views of Heavenly.
Yeah, Heavenly's like, if anyone burned their bras, because it was cold outside. Like, let's just pretend that no marches ever happened, okay? Heavenly's like, well, of course I would vote if I had the right.
Yeah, and then Contessa doesn't really help things either, because Contessa's like, you know, Heavenly doesn't realize that, like, she's not a domestic goddess herself. I mean, she's ambitious. She's smart. She doesn't sit at home waiting for a man to bring home the bacon. So I'm like, are you implying that women who just stay home and take care of their kids are not ambitious and are not smart and are just sitting there waiting for the man to make the money? I was like, I think both of you guys are sort of, like, saying everything a little bit wrong right now.
I know. You guys are both just sitting there making a scene that you might as well just grab shovels and start digging holes, because that's what you're both doing right now. You know?
Praise
just
the Lord.
Yeah, just dig some holes in that backyard. So Heavenly's Please. Like, you better get your shit together because I don't want to see you cry. Do not cry. You never know when the straw's about to break in a marriage, Contessa.
So where Quad is very upset by that metaphor.
Oh, just open the straw. I just say it's going to break.
Because you know that Quad broke that straw in that restaurant. I'm sorry to go back to the straw, but you know that she did. Like, it's just the way she handled that straw. I mean, it was wrong.
I actually believe that was her probably second or third straw, because the first straw that she was probably given, which was not seen on camera, was that she had the straw and then she probably tried to like bang it on the table, you know, to force the straw up through the top of the wrapper. And like, she probably went too hard, so it actually broke. And she's like, oh, wait, I'm going to need another straw, please. I'm needing another straw. This one broke. This is an inferior straw.
There's like an entire family of tortured turtles now. It's like Quad just getting angry with the straw. Just don't make Quad angry around her straw, okay?
Don't. By the way, I don't think that's a phrase. You never know when the straw is going to break. I think it's you never know when the which straw the camel's is gonna break back the camel's
is
back.
About, yeah, you never know when the camel's back is about to break. But you know, whatever. I mean, this is a very fitting episode to get it wrong because Quad is breaking straws.
I'm using this opportunity to sip out of my straw right now. Yes, I have a straw. That's right. I have a straw with me right now at this moment. I'm sorry, everyone. I do.
Well, I will say that you know, here in Austin, they don't have straws either. There's a ban on straws too. And I had a Diet Coke the other day, and I was like, well, so what? You know, I'm going to learn to help the turtles, too. I don't want to see turtles get hit. I mean, I just spent the other morning on Facebook watching a girl who befriended a butterfly. I'm not even kidding. Okay, a butterfly with a broken wing. So I want to help the turtles. But let me say, using straws with Diet Coke, no good. That's no good. It hurt my teeth. I was like, oh,
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I actually am, even though I have a straw here, it's because I had already bought like a pack of straws for my homemade iced coffee. And so like, I'm not going to throw them out because it's like, I might as well use them. Right. So I'm for paper straws. I think they've come up a long way. You can have a paper straw sitting in a drink for like multiple hours and it will still be strong. So I support paper straws. What I don't support is like not offering me a paper straw. Like, give me a paper straw, because what has now happened has been a significant rise of my least favorite, scenario, which is, okay, oh look, I have a pint glass full of Diet Coke and ice, and okay, in the beginning it's fun, super fun, just drinking my Diet Coke. I'm a grown man, I can do it. You just tilt the glass and sip the liquid. But then you get that point where you are about like, you've had about 3/4 of the cup, and now you gotta really tilt that cup to drink that Diet Coke, and now you're in that precarious tense situation where it's like, I have to increase the angle of my tilt a few more degrees to get it to start flowing towards me. But at what point will the ice start coming at me also? Because that is what happens. Because you are sitting there and everyone knows that balance, that moment when you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden the ice is like, fuck it, I'm going forward too. And then everything comes out your mouth, and then the ice then pushes all the liquid with it, and then all of a sudden you're like spilling all over yourself. It happens. Don't act like it doesn't. Give me the paper straw.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
You know, you were probably there too, right? You had that, the ice rush.
Oh my God. I've literally, do you know how much food I've spilled on myself and people? So, do you know how many people I've spilled on myself? Food and water. I've spilled so much on my, I'm currently wearing one of my favorite shirts that I won't get rid of. And it has a huge, something I was drinking made a big circle right under my nipple. So it looks like I'm lactating. Like, yes, I get it. You know, straws, they're killing turtles, but they're saving t-shirts. So it's like, what do you do? Yeah. You know,
because
it's a precarious place to be.
I do not like that ice rush. I do not like when that ice comes, just it's like an avalanche, just comes down the cup and pushes all the liquid with it, and it goes all around the sides and then down onto your shirt, and then people look at you like you're the idiot. I'm like, I'm not an idiot. It's physics. I can't help it.
Yeah, I've been made to look like an idiot by the lack of straw. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, give us the paper straws, okay?
Okay, so I'm glad we had that conversation, because we can skip over most of this next scene, because it's really sad, and I don't like sad things.
I thought it was sad and sweet. So basically, we're at Toya's house, and Eugene comes home from work, and he's like, the kids are playing, or they're doing something, they're coloring or something, and Toya's giving them snacks, and Eugene walks in, and he is holding a gun that's the size of a canoe. It's like a big toy gun. It's like neon, you know, a big neon toy gun the size of a canoe, and he's like, kids, you can't leave this by the door. I'm like, what has happened in the world of water guns? This thing is enormous. I've never seen such a big water gun in my life.
Yeah, that was a terrifying water gun.
It was like out of the future. I mean, is this like Gears of War, like, has like came to life or something like that? It was insane.
Yeah, and things change so fast. I just don't like seeing your big giant gun either. While we're on soapboxes about straws, how about let's stop like teaching our children to shoot at each other?
Yeah.
How about that? How about that?
Can we come up with a good substitute for, instead of water guns, could we do, what would be a good, like,
paper guns. You know, let's just keep it uniform. Paper guns. like straws. Everything we're replacing.
If you want to have a water gun, you have to make it out of origami first and teach yourself some discipline. That's what happens.
And exactly.
You're like by the time
you fold it, yeah, I didn't have any anger left, so I didn't want to shoot anybody anymore. You see?
So apparently one of the sons has been acting out at school, and Toya suspects that in the wake of this of her miscarriage, that the kids have not been processing very well. So they call like a little family meeting, and Eugene asks how the kids have been feeling, and it was like heartbreaking, but it was so sweet and so lovely, and it was such a great real moment. What the kids were saying. So one son said, I've been feeling mad. And then the other son was saying, I've been feeling a little okay. I was like, oh, these poor little boys, you know, it's so, your heart breaks for them that they have to go through anything or have to feel these sort of things.
Yeah. And so she talked about going to see Simone and getting the ultrasound and then it hitting her that she lost the baby. And it was really sad. And the kids go upstairs after the talk. And Eugene's like, well, look, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're going to be okay, you know? And she goes, did you just look at your penis when you said you're okay? It's like, no. She's like, yes, you did. It's like, that's such a guy thing to do. You're okay, my dick is okay. So you know what? My dick is still working, okay. So we can work through anything.
I do have to say, though, also, I mean, not to bring it back to the sad part, but my, you know what the sweetest part was, or the part that I was like, I just wanted to give that little boy a hug, was when he goes, what if somebody starts talking about it and I start crying? What would happen? I was like, please, we need to be making fun of your mother right now. Please, like, let's take this off the screen. I can't right now. This is too sweet and sad.
Yeah. So then we go over to Simone, who's having a family meeting of her own. She's bringing in a humongous whiteboard from her car.
Yeah. And all the guys are like, Cecil has made some sort of enchiladas. So the boys are like, you know, standing in the kitchen eating dinner, and Simone walks in with this easel and she's like, we are going to the family room for a family meeting. Quad. Like, quad. Sorry. Yeah.
I hope no one minds that I'm wearing $100 bills in my shoes. So she sits down and she's like, number one, trash. And Michael's like, oh, so you're saying that you work too much to take the trash out? Is that what you're saying? She's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm a woman. I should not have to take out the trash.
Then, okay. Number two, Sam. Sam is a dog I never wanted. You guys got Sam. I had to walk Sam the other day and pick up his poop, and it got on my hand. I am a doctor, and I see things that are way worse than poop all day long. But then I don't want to have to come home and see poop.
Yeah. Next, there is no reason for clothes to be on the floor. And then Miles rubbers.
So Miles I was like, I don't have a hamper.
So she's like, rubbers. I was in Miles's room and I saw a stack of rubbers. And then they show her walking and finding all the rubbers. And it's next to like a huge jar or a huge squirt thing of Jergen.
Huge. Yeah. So then Miles is like, well, we have some rules for you. Stop trying to punish us for things we didn't do. You keep saying we have to clean up our rooms, but you haven't even been in our rooms, so you don't even know what you're talking about. She's like, I woke you up this morning. I had to step over 3 puddles of semen. It was not pleasant, and I still somehow got dog shit on my hand.
I know. I'm starting to see her point.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Dog shit and semen, okay? Like, at least hide your Jergens, you know? Yeah. Like, everybody knows you probably masturbate. We don't really need to see it. Like, your mom doesn't need to see that.
It's like, yes, your mom is, you know, a gynecologist and deals with sex and talks with people about sex all the time. Maybe, like, just try to attempt to make the Jergens look like you're using it just to moisturize. Not right next to the condoms.
So, the boys are high-fiving each other because of the condoms, which is hilarious. And then, so, he's like, okay, well, we have rules for you, too. So now it's time for your rules. And she's like, excuse me, I do not have rules. And he goes... which kid said this? I didn't write down.
Well, Michael
which one.
Said
he
about
goes,
the hostility.
Michael, right? He's like, it's the hostility in your voice, okay? We could be talking about the simplest thing, like, why is this water bottle green? Why is it green?
He was so right. I started to laugh.
Yeah. So they start giving her shit about just being too loud, you know?
But then it winds up in this big group hug, and I was like, oh, I love their family. They are so, so lovely and wonderful.
So then Heavenly is back in her closet again, because that's the only place she wants to shoot this season. Have you noticed that? Every time they're in her house, she's in her closet.
I have really not noticed weird. That, but I will take note of it now, going forward.
So she's organizing her closet into what she's worn and what she hasn't worn yet. So
business she's talking, is going really well, clearly.
Yeah, so she's talking to the newly cast Allura, the new girl playing Allura. I'm like, you guys, what is this, Roseanne? It's like a new Becky in here.
Yeah, we know. We can see.
Yeah.
So, they're like, Allura's helping her out. Sex. And then we see them, like, in the confessional talking. And Allura's like, I am cuter than you were at my age. And she's like, well, daddy, that's because you have money, daddy. Please, praise, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so that's why you can look cuter than I did at my age, daddy.
I didn't have any new clothes, praise the Lord. I didn't have any new hair done because we didn't have money, praise the Lord.
So she's like, so let's talk about sex. Are you at that stage where you're talking about sex with people? Are you just talking about sex? Are you having sex with people? Because you could talk about it. You could talk about it.
She's like, mom, no, mom.
No, mom, no.
Well, when you're ready to date in 5 or 6 years from now, then...
And Laura's like, 5 or 6 years from now? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I like that she said, the boys only have one thing on their mind, and it's not the movie. And then the first thing Daddy wants to know is why Laura never calls him anymore for movies. Like, you know, sometimes guys are simpler than you think. You know?
Yeah, because Daddy joins, of course, in Scrubs. And, praise the Lord, Daddy's here. So we're just talking about Laura when she can date. And, I think LaLaura's like, Mommy says I can't date until I'm 18. He's like, 18? You can't date until you're 30.
Yeah, and then Heavenly and Daddy talk, because Laura's like, okay, I'm leaving. You guys have each other now. Goodbye. She gets out of there. And she's like,
she's pulling away from me, Daddy. Laura. First she changed actresses, and now she's just not even talking to me, Daddy.
And they're talking about how they're going to have empty nest syndrome and all that. Which, and he's like,
Laura went to the movies with me every weekend, and now she doesn't even ask me much anymore.
I want to go back to this empty nest syndrome because they're like, well, Daddy, after this year, Zachary is graduating, Daddy, and that's just us with Allura, and then she'll be gone soon. I'm like, Zachary? What? Who? I just love that there are all these siblings that are like not even on camera in Heavenly's house. Because she has one, yeah. She has one kid who's in college. Now there's a Zachary. And now, yeah, like, who are these people? Yeah.
So then let's go over to Quad's house, who's cooking, you know, because that's her thing. Yeah. And Jackie comes over with a bottle of wine, and Quad is telling her dog, she's like, I'll be right back. Now go to your bed, dogs. Go to your bed. Go to your bed.
I'm just going to the door. To the door. So Quad welcomes Jackie in, and Quad, of course, is cooking because she still theoretically has a cookbook on the horizon. So she, like, brings Jackie into the kitchen, and she's like, well, of course, these are my fresh green beans, which are in the book, and my Mexican street corn. Oh, and silverware, which I will talk extensively about in the book. I don't know if you know about silverware, but it's essential to cooking.
And Jackie sees all the vegetables and the knives, and she's like, why would you buy this stuff that you have to cut when you can buy it at the store already cut? I'm not understanding this.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have the Quad's touch. It wouldn't have the Quad's touch. I don't tell you how to catch babies.
I don't tell you how to catch babies, and you shouldn't tell me how to put green beans in the oven for 20 minutes and take them out and toss them with slivered almonds.
And Jackie's like, whoa, these are green beans and they're unfrozen. Isn't that Mariah's new musical? Quad's like, it's different from your traditional corn. Tired. This is Mexican corn. All right, now let's talk about frowny face. Some bone. I started with the crab bowl.
I did. I couldn't help it. I did. Is it so wrong that I started with a crab bowl?
As Jackie's Mariah would say right now, let it. Let it. Jackie's like, if you need someone to say sorry over and over again, it's not the person that's pointing at you that has a problem. It's the person that has the fingers pointing the other way that's the problem. I'm like, oh my God. Fucking Jackie. Yeah. And I've brought you flowers to prove the point.
So Jackie's like, is there anything Quad that you can own that you did in that situation? And Quad's like, so I have to own something if I did nothing wrong? I don't own anything. I lost everything with Dr. Gregory. What do I own now? I'll tell you what I own now. My dignity. And these green beans. And this Mexican street corn. That's what I own. That's what I own, Dr. Jackie. I own nothing but me. No, Quad. No, you're being too extra.
Yeah, so Jackie's like, well, what can you do? She's like, well, I can open my arms and receive her whole. I can receive her whole. It's like, wow, that was quite a U-turn you just made there.
I know.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know with Quad sometimes. So now we go over to the Spice House, where Simone and Mariah are meeting up for dinner. And Simone is, they're just sitting there. At this point, we think it's just the two of them having a meal. And Simone brings up Jackie. And the moment that she utters Jackie's name, Mariah goes into full Popeye face. Like, it's full on. I love the spinach, please.
So they're talking about how Michael's going to prom. And Simone's just going to send him in an Uber black. And then Simone's talking about how Jackie and her had a talk. She's like, and of course it started out that she wants me in Heavenly back on track. And she asked if I would sit with her. And I told her, if she's willing to kindle and burn, then I'm ready to kindle and burn. And you're ready to kindle and burn. by the way, you have to talk to Jackie today. She's like, when are we going to do this?
She's like, well, and then we cut to Jackie and Heavenly and basically walking in from the parking lot. They walk in, and then as they walk in the doorway, Jackie's like, basically like, by the way, there's something I forgot to tell you. And Heavenly looks across the restaurant and sees Simone there. She goes, you're a shady bitch. You know that, right? You know that? She goes, I'm not shady. All right.
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Yoshi.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jackie's like, I brought you somewhere special. And she goes, special? How nice.
Oh, I wish Daddy would bring me here every now and then. Daddy, praise the Lord, they have menus.
So they all hug and, you know, give each other awkward hugs. And then they're sitting there just staring at the menu awkwardly. And Jackie's like, well, I guess we should see what we're ordering, as flowers do when they're sitting between two people at a restaurant. Like, Jackie's still trying to make it work.
Still pushing the flower thing. So Jackie goes, so, Mariah, it has been brought to my attention that I somehow offended you, which I guess must be pretty easy considering that all I did was talked about canned soup and maybe a dust bunny I saw, and apparently that really pissed you off. So you want to explain yourself? Thanks.
And Mariah's like, well, I was offended at your podcast when you made drug allegations. I would ask that you at least fact check, because I've always held you in very high regard, Jackie. Very high regard. And I feel like you know me enough to know that that's just not my lifestyle. And Jackie just looks at her and she goes, but what was quoted was stuff that's already been quoted. She's like, but the problem is you only quote one side, Jackie. You don't talk to me. And Jackie's like, well, you don't talk to me. You talk at me. Like when you said that slip thing. I promise you, I don't understand what you meant by slip when Mariah was saying, you're showing your slip, you're showing your slip. So she goes, if you could speak the Queen's English or Ebonics so I can understand. And Mariah just goes, Popeye face. Total big Popeye full face. On Popeye face.
It was so shady. I mean, if you could just string together a few words in a proper sentence, you know, syntax. Is that a hard word, syntax? Maybe we'll just say, how about three-letter words. Let's start with three-letter words and go from there. How about that?
Oh, so Jackie's like, well, what I want to do is apologize from my heart that you don't know how to speak. And if I offended you, and I did, I apologize for offending you. If I did, which I don't understand, but I did. And what's important is that I apologize for doing whatever it is that you think I did that you're so upset about, which I don't understand, but I'll pretend to, so we can eat. She's like, thank you.
Mariah's like, beep, boop, 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 boop. Queen's English, please. Queen's English or Ebonics. I will accept Ebonics. This ATM speaks Ebonics, Queen's English, and text message. Either one of those. Can you do that? Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. I'm sorry, I do not understand your requests.
And also, how is Jackie supposed to fact check drug allegations? Like, is she supposed to test you? I mean, what the heck? This whole argument. But Mariah's like, okay, and we don't ever have to go back to this argument again. Jackie's like, okay, thank you.
So I will see you in about two more episodes when we go back to this place again. Thank you. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, 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 boop.
Might I suggest a crab bowl? So Heavenly's like, so well... Yeah.
She Heavenly just tries to basically ride the coattails. Because Jackie did such an eloquent apology. She's like, I'm not saying if I offended you, because I know I offended you. Because you're a very dumb person who's offended by things like this bowl of nachos over here. You're offended by it, aren't you? You are. You're clicking at it already. I can tell. I don't know what the clicking means because I only speak English. But I can tell you're offended. Anyway, you're offended. So I apologize. I apologize. And then Heavenly's like, I apologize too. I apologize too. Is that what she said? Which is like, she's kind of was like trying to like take all of Jackie's and just like, and that goes for me too. Me too. Ditto.
Yeah,
ditto to that.
Pretty much. So Simone's like, well, Heavenly, I feel like I shared things with you that I had not shared with other ladies. Which is not true. And she's like, and one of the things you said that if my husband got a job, our relationship would be better, which is not what she said. And Heavenly's like,
I didn't say anything you told me in confidence. That is a bold-faced lie.
Are you going to let me finish? Or do you want to know why I'm offended? Can I finish?
Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. Okay. I know I want to finish.
Praise the Lord.
So you know why I'm offended.
Praise the Lord.
Now you're praising the Lord. Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish?
So crazy.
I have dog poop on my hand now. Somehow I got dog poop on my hand. Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish? I have poop on my hand and I'm holding my son's condom. How did these things happen? Can I finish?
Does it smell like Jergens in here to anybody?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That is a bold-faced lie, Simone.
She's like, well, I'm just going to correct you as I see fit. And she goes, well, I am actually okay with you, Heavenly. I do not need a correction from you.
Yeah.
So then she starts, she keeps trying to make this fight happen, which they're all on such stupid fighting grounds anyway. Like, we do not care about these fights, you guys. They're all stupid. So just stop.
And Simone, so Simone is already falling into her own trap, which she always does, which is she starts fighting about, can I finish? And then they're talking, and then Heavenly's like, I don't understand your attitude. And she's like, I don't have an attitude. You called me a liar. And then Heavenly's like, can you just admit that Cecil was wrong for tweeting at me?
A man does not do that to a woman, Daddy. Daddy is the finest man that I know, and he would never do anything like that. Daddy, here's what a man needs to do. A man needs to wear scrubs everywhere, look sad, and mope. That's what a man does, Daddy.
And someone goes, well, everyone is not your husband, Heavenly. There's some shit that your husband has done that Cecil would never do.
And she goes, oh, really? What are you saying now? What is that stuff my husband did? What is that stuff? She's like, well, I think I just said it. She's like, just say it. Say it.
I thought it was Heavenly was saying that Cecil has done stuff that Damon would never do.
No, she says, Heavenly is saying, a man should never do that to a woman. My husband would never do that to a woman. And Simone said, oh, well, your husband's done things that I'm not going to mention that my husband would never do. And so she's like threatening Heavenly with some info she has on Daddy, which is hilarious. It's like she's it's like, what are you threatening to accuse Daddy of cheating? Because that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And almost, so Heavenly, that's why Heavenly starts squealing like, you know, Dino from the Flintstones. So it's like, bah, 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 bah. She starts going crazy over this. And then Mariah's like, Simone, let's go to the bathroom. Let us go to the bathroom. So they go to the bathroom to talk. And meanwhile, Heavenly's back out there going crazy with Jackie.
Yeah. And Heavenly's, they're talking about that. And Mariah, of all people, is saying that Simone should just accept Heavenly's apology, which is hilarious because Mariah is the most resistant to ever accepting apologies.
Wait, so then,
I'm sorry, did I say Heavenly? I meant Mariah is telling Simone.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That she should accept the apology, right.
Yeah.
And so then Simone is, so then they come back from the bathroom, and Heavenly is about to go off, right? Because she's in like survival mode now. So she's like, well, we can talk about people and people's men, but there's no comparison between my man and everyone else's man. And then Jackie's like, well, of course, they're both great at reminding each other what the other person did, you know?
Yeah.
So Jackie's like, here's what I have to say. Life is so short, so I'd like to say this to the nachos. I see you slip. Did I say that right? Anybody? Just trying to fit in.
Not helpful, Mariah. Not helpful.
So they all change seats so that Simone and Heavenly can talk now. And Heavenly's like, I still care whether she cares or not. And Simone's crying. And she's like, do you receive that if you are so busy trying to damage me with words, you cannot possibly think this is repairable, Heavenly?
Yeah, and they're like suddenly both very calm. I think that like once Simone started to cry, like that's like what Heavenly needed, because now Heavenly's like, I just want to get over this. I just want to. Can we move on? I want to move on, Daddy. Can we do that? Can we do that? Praise the Lord.
Well, you hurt me when you said Cecil needed to get a job, and she's like, but that wasn't in confidence. Everybody knew that. She goes, but I said it to you. It's like, okay.
So, I mean, ultimately, they both apologize to each other, and then they hug, and it was a nice hug. I still think that they're going to flare up again, but they hug, and, you know, it seems like everyone buried the hatchet at this meal, shockingly. It looked like it was not going to get anywhere, but it did, and then they all leave, and then Jackie in the car is like, you know what I'm excited about? Progress. I'm like, not in this group. Not gonna happen.
And Heavenly goes, well, praise the Lord, Jackie, you did that. And then Mariah and Simone are in their own car, and Mariah's like, well, I was harboring resentment for Jackie. I admit it. And she goes, I hope that we can keep the same energy. And then her and Simone just start cracking up in the car, like,
it's not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen
at all. You guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with some Below Deck Med. Very excited for that. And later this week, we'll see a bunch of you guys in Charlotte, and then in Nashville will be Orange County and Dallas, respectively, that we'll be covering at those shows. Go to Watch What Crappens to get all your tickets to all of our shows, and also go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to get things like the bonus episode, stuff like that. Sign up for our newsletter. Everything is at Watch What Crappens. Every single thing that we're talking about is at our website. So go there if you're interested in getting more involved in the Crappens experience. And until tomorrow, have a great one, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
There are some things in life even Sky Broadband can't guarantee. They can't guarantee you'll only see green lights on your journey home. Hooray! Or that your car radio will always play your favourite songs. But with their Wi-Fi guarantee, they can guarantee Wi-Fi in every room of your home. If not, you get money back. An absolute classic. Sky, believe in better. Requires Sky Broadband Boost and Sky Kit. Refund on boost component of subscription paid during current minimum term up to date of claim. See sky.com/guarantee.
It's Dr. Rupi from the Doctor's Kitchen podcast. Now, I used to have a real issue with Wi-Fi in my flat, particularly in my kitchen, which is a bit of a dead spot. And that's an issue for me because I upload live videos to Instagram and Facebook showing people how to cook. But since I've started using this Wi-Fi disc from BT, I've now got Wi-Fi in every corner of my flat. Now, my live streaming is uninterrupted, and I can even watch other people's recipes by streaming whilst I'm cooking in my own kitchen. If you want to find out a bit about how you can improve your Wi-Fi at home, check out BT Complete Wi-Fi.